T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports update.
Week, so we look around the NHL and the Coyotes top the update list. The Coyotes had their 5th win in 7 games with a 4-2 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's going on there in hockey country? Lawson Kraus, goal and an assist. Mario Kemp, Clayton Keller, Vinny Hinostroza all scored, and Darcy Kemper made 24 saves. Travis Dermott, John Tavares scored for Toronto, and Frederick Anderson, 27 saves. The Islanders shut out the Ducks 3-0 for their 5th win in a row yesterday. Robin Leonard, 19 saves. Cal Clutterbuck, 2 goals. Leo Komarov scored. Chad Johnson, 25 saves for Anaheim. This is the 2nd shutout in a row for the Islanders after defeating the Capitals 2-0 on Friday. Probably the most surprising team in the NHL, the Long Islanders. Elias Pettersson returned for the Canucks, providing a goal and an assist in a 3-2 win over the Red Wings. Pettersson had missed the previous 5 games with a sprained knee. Bo Horvat on Antoine Roussel also scored. Jacob Markstrom, 35 saves. Thomas Vanek, Franz Nielsen each had a goal and an assist. Jonathan Bernier, 28 saves for Detroit. Over to football. The Patriots and Rams are heading to the Super Bowl this year after conference championships yesterday. Both games went into overtime. Rams kicker Greg Zuerling made a historic 57-yard game-winning field goal over the Saints, the longest game-winning kick in playoff history. The Patriots were the only offense on the field during overtime. 37-31 win over the Chiefs. Super Bowl Sunday is February 3rd, and the Pro Bowl takes place this Sunday in Orlando. The NFL announced this morning the 5-game slate of international games for 2019 season. London will host 4 games: Panthers, Buccaneers, Bears, Raiders, Bengals, Rams, Texans, Jags, and Mexico City will get another shot to host the Chiefs-Rams game. That's your sports update for today. I'm Andrew Peters, back over to the Instigator. Instigator. Sorry, Riv. Let me include Riv into the show here, too. The Instigator's got to pluralize that. Sorry.
This is all you today, my brother.
My good man. I feel like it's all me today.
I feel like I just like jumped on your back and you're like carrying me around right now. That's all right.
Well, that's what listen. When a champion joins me in studio and he's, you know, hung over from the championship celebrations, I'm happy to carry the load, my friend.
Sorry.
don't say sorry.
No after party here. It went straight home to bed. I coached 11 games this weekend, or helped coach 11 games. So it was a long weekend.
Yeah, that's insane. Here's the picture here. If you're tuning in on MSG, the tweet, you got your arms up. The best one was the one you sent. I don't know who else you sent it to, but I was lucky enough to get the picture. All the boys in the locker room huddled up around the trophy, and you in the back with your hands up.
Yeah.
You like to kind of stand in the background, eh? Like you don't like all the credit for it. You just want to sit back and enjoy it with, like, for the boys, right?
You know what? I mean, there's nothing better. And you know, again, congratulations to the 14U and the 11U team also winning the championship also against the London Knights, a top team from Ontario. You know, I mean, I don't think it's ever happened ever in the history of the tournament that 2 Buffalo Junior Sabre teams have won the championship, and we had other teams that played exceptionally well. The 13U team came up a little bit short in the finals. I watched their game. They had a fantastic year, or a fantastic season. The 06s Ended up losing in a shootout in the semifinals. I mean, there were so many teams that played extremely well for the Junior Sabres. Proud of all the teams they represented very well.
Well, congratulations to all the boys. I'm glad they had a great weekend. And moving on here. So leave them up for the rest of the show, eh?
Yeah, I don't want you touching them. No. Only champions touch the trophy.
Although I did touch.
Although you did touch the Stanley Cup, which is disgusting.
I'm not a player anymore. I wasn't a player guy. Come on, you know, I wanted to feel the cup. All right, I wanted to feel the cup. I don't care. I'm not even ashamed of it. I'm actually.
You should be ashamed of it.
You know,
because I was not happy that day that you did it. I guess we have.
You really wasn't. You really weren't. And that's what I love about you is that your pride. You know, everything, like, you are. Ooh, you're code, man. Like, you don't touch the cup. You don't touch the cup unless you win. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. The cup was sitting right in front of me.
And right after I said that to you, you looked at me and you went and grabbed the cup and held it over your head.
I lifted it up.
You're such a meatball.
And I asked the keeper of the cup. I said, do you mind if I just lift it? I lifted it by the base and I just – because you know what, Riv? I remember when I went to New Jersey – and I would ask guys, Pandolfo, guys that won the cup, Colin White. Here, I didn't play with many guys that won the cup. I roomed with Nolan Pratt for a little bit. He won two. He won one in Tampa Bay and one in Colorado. And I never stopped asking him. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I chased the cup or that was like my ultimate goal. But I mean, when you're playing and you're on a team, you know, like, and you have a role limited or whatever, the only other thing you have is winning, right? I mean, that's, so if you can win, it's amazing. And I remember asking the guys, like, you know, how heavy is it? Like, and you know the weight, but it's a different kind of weight. You can hold 35 pounds over your head, no problem. But it's, you know, like, you know, what's it feel like? I always wanted to know, like, what did it feel like to grab onto the cup in the other end and just hold it, or how much?
Yeah. I mean, like every year since I've been a little kid, I've watched that final game. Usually happens at 10:30 at night, where they start to, the guys start to pass the cup around. And I love watching who I feel is going to get the cup first, second, third. I love watching the role players, the guys that basically are a lot of the heart and soul of the hockey team, not just the superstars. Yes, they're blessed with amazing talents. They're the faces. They're the ones that get all the recognition and all the interviews during the playoffs. But the reality is you don't win unless you have the role players, the guys that are playing on the third and fourth lines, the guys that are the 13th forward, the guy that are the 5th, 6th, the 7th, the 8th defenseman. Those are the guys that help you win the Stanley Cup. It's not just the elite players. It takes every single person. It takes the coaching staff. The trainers have to be on. The players, everything. It has to be a collective.
Can I tell you
that's
what
why
I love?
It's so hard to win it. I mean, you know, it's not like going in football where you have to play, what, 4 games to win the Super Bowl? Is that it?
Might be 3.
I mean, you have to take 20 plus games where you've already played 82. Your body's broken down. Most of these guys, every single guy has an injury that has nagged them the entire season, where it's shoulder, back, neck, hips, knee, you name it. And now all of a sudden you have to go into four games where you can play 7 games. I mean, the amount of hockey it takes to win, the amount of hard hockey it takes to win the Stanley Cup, it's truly the hardest trophy in the world to win.
I'll say this. It sounds, you know, in saying it out loud, it sounds weird to say, but I have friends that have won, and I know you do too, but I have friends that have won the Stanley Cup, and it's unique to be able to say that. But as I'm saying that to you, I'm thinking, as you're talking, I know a lot of guys that lost the Stanley Cup, like lost in the finals. I mean, we had Rhett Warner on the other day, went to 3 finals. I forgot about Florida. And, you know, you have Michael Pekka here. I think he lost a couple. You have Kevin Adams won a Stanley Cup. I don't know if you went to it. You didn't go to a final, did you?
No.
Okay, so, but there, anyway, my point is, and this might be sick. I don't know how this is going to sound, but it's not for the reason that people might think it is. I don't get joy out of it, but for some reason I want to see the losing team. like how they handle it. Like I almost feel like you can relate more to that than you can the other side, like the elation of winning a Stanley Cup. I never won anything. I didn't win.
It's amazing. I don't want to see the other side of it. I don't want to see the other side
it's
of it.
It's not
because I already know
I'm not
what
sitting
it is.
There going like, hey, like the guy in the Simpsons. I'm sitting there I empathize for them. I hurt for them more than anything.
Yes,
because you know what they just went through. And and nothing will, I'll never forget losing in 06-07. Sorry to go back so far, but losing in 06-07, it hurt and it stung, and the mood in the room after. I think that's what I'll always remember about those seasons is the mood in the room after you lose. There's so many great moments throughout the year that, yes, I was fortunate enough to be a part of. Some I was on the sidelines for, but you're along for the ride.
Yeah.
But you remember the great things, but you specifically remember the hard parts. And I'll never forget 05-06 when we lost to Carolina in Game 7. I will never, ever, ever, till the day I die, forget what that locker room felt like. Because it was an eerie feeling. It was a feeling, it was silent. You could hear guys sniffling left over from tears. You could hear guys just kind of, you know, not upbeat, but positive. You know, hey, like we gave it everything, guys. Like we have nothing to be ashamed of. And you have guys that just, I remember watching, I looked and there's Mike Greer sitting on the floor. And he's silent. He just has his hands on his head. And I remember walking by him and I just thinking to myself, like, there's a guy that may never even get this close again. Yeah. Now, you know he's a good player. He'll get to play on teams, but you never know and I always wonder what the agony is of those players because I never got that close. So I never know. But I wonder more about the agony versus the excitement of winning. Does that make any sense?
Yes, I totally understand it. Totally understand it, and I never went to a Stanley Cup Finals or even a Conference Finals. I lost three times in the second round, which to go to the Conference Finals, and it's devastating. It's tough, you know. You put a lot of time and effort in throughout your season, and you are beat up. Every one of those players is beat up. They're tired. They're physically and mentally worn down, and then having to start a playoffs, which is exciting, and you have to lay everything out of the line. It's amazing what these players go through. And for me, I don't want to see that other side. I don't want to see the hurtful side because I feel that I went through.
There's
it.
Always going to be a loot, yeah, right.
And but I, think I that's, go that's it. And I watch these teams that win, and I watch these guys. Especially the guys that have won a cup for the very first time, what it means for them, the expression on their face of just this pure joy of their emotion. They want to cry because they're just so happy that it's over and they accomplished it. And it's such a team sport. You have to do it together. Amazing things happen when you gel. And that's usually what happens to the best teams.
And we'll get to the standing. Sabres on a bye week, Instigators, Andrew and Craig. And feel free to call in. What do you like to see, the champions or the losers? I mean, it's probably not a topic that's going to generate a lot of calls. But feel free, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. And just sharing some of our experiences and things like that. And I do want to get into the standings. But I think one of the coolest things I remember, and I've said his name a few times on the show, but – you know, Martin Brodeur, okay, Marty Brodeur. And one of the things I remember, you know, when I told you, like, I walked into a locker room of there were Stanley Cup champions everywhere, whether it was Jacques Lemaire, the coach, Mario Tremblay, Lou Lamoriello, Larry Robinson, just walking around, your goalie coach, your goalie, your fourth line centerman and Pandolfo. I mean, you get the point, right?
Yep.
Langenbrunner 1-2. Like, you're just surrounded by champions. And so, like, frequently finding yourself asking questions. And I remember I asked Marty, I said, what is your like drive and motivation to keep going and winning? And you know what the answer was? And it's funny because Colin White said the same exact thing. They want to win another one for the guys that never got a chance to win it. And I like, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it because I never play with anybody that could really say that. I mean, I never really talked to Chris Drury about it, you know, but there were guys in Pandolfo, same thing, Colin White, you know, just want to win another one. Like, you just want to win another one. One's not enough. Two's not enough. So I was always fascinated about that, the mindset of guys that have won it and the agony of defeat, too. So Instigator, sorry for that, WGR 550 and MSG. Let's talk about the standings. I don't know which side you find to be more fascinating, whether it's the separation that's starting to take place in the East, where I feel like the Rangers in Florida, sorry, Mr. Uyghur, I know you're listening, you know, they could be, you know, looking on the outside in.
Yep.
Or you scroll on over to the West Coast and right down to the seventh seed in the wild card, you're at 47 points. You're 5 points back, but the team that's 5 points back has 3 games in hand on that wild card number two spot. I don't think people understand the magnitude of the game that Vancouver had the other night against Buffalo. That put them in a playoff spot.
Well, you know what's happened is, in the East in particular, you have you had a large number of teams that were jumbled together. Okay, the Islanders were at one point a couple weeks ago behind the Sabres. Now they have 62 points. And they have 5 wins in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And they're not only in a playoff spot, they're number one in the Metropolitan Division. They've surpassed Washington. They've surpassed Columbus. They're actually not even past these guys. They're 3 points up on them. That's how well this team's played.
It's not a runaway by any means. It's not Tampa Bay in the Atlantic, but...
No, but you're looking at a team that was behind the Sabres at one point. The Sabres are now, you know, 8 points behind the Islanders.
Yeah.
They were ahead of the Islanders a couple weeks ago. So what's happened in the East, you've had a couple teams that have taken off and that are leaving. Yeah, they're leaving teams in their dust. In the Western Conference, it's a very different situation. You have a large number of teams. There has not been a team that's broken away from the pack. You have Dallas, Vancouver, Minnesota, Anaheim, Edmonton, Arizona, and St. Louis that are now 5 points difference between. And the team that's 47 points at the bottom out of all those teams I named, they have 2 and 3 games in hand on the teams that are ahead of them. So they are going to catch up. This is going to be an extremely interesting race to the end in the West, because right now, do you remember did you pick St. Louis to make the playoffs?
I think we did it a week ago? I think I did.
I picked St. Louis to make the playoffs.
How long ago?
It was like a week and a half ago or a week ago.
I don't know if I did. I can't remember, but I feel like I did at the start of the year. I definitely didn't think that we'd be talking about them. Like, they were last in the league about a month ago. Do you remember that?
On the 15th.
Ooh, of what?
The 15th of January, we did, to the point, wild cards in the West. I called Colorado and St. Louis.
You did call that?
Yep.
Good for you.
So St. Louis right now is a team that did not start well. They just, a lot of their players were underachieving, but they've really, really started to pick up their game as of late. And I think they're going to be a tough team down the stretch.
Do we rule out Chicago? I mean, after what they did yesterday, did you see the two guys at Taves and Kane at 5 points yesterday? DeBrincat's ripping it up. I mean, like,
So this is what I have when I see this. They win 8-5 against Washington. I'm thinking to myself, how is that possible that Washington Capitals, and with the team that they have, are giving up 8 goals?
Well, I don't know how they're giving up 8 goals, but I'll tell you what they're not doing. Ovi only has 4 in his last 15. So, I mean, there's a bit of an issue in Washington. I mean, I don't know, though. Like, do they hit a wall? Does Washington end up hitting a wall after?
Are they going through cruise control?
Okay, well, we've had this discussion too. Like, teams know when to turn it on, how to turn it on, how to play. I mean, it's not like they're at risk of falling out of a playoff spot. But it's not like they're as clean cut. They're by far the better team of the teams with 59 points. But look how many teams are right there with them. I mean, they're jumbled in with a few teams for a wild card. Pittsburgh, 1 win. They're back in there. Washington falls out. Like, I think Columbus ends up being the team, believe it or not, that falls out of that division. I think Columbus is going to have a colossal meltdown. you know, between the Bobrovsky and Panarin situation.
I think it's going to be a distraction also.
It's starting to become a distraction. I mean, yeah, they had the big win after Bobrovsky got benched for the game, but they're starting to slowly fall apart here. And then I think it's going to become more of a distraction. These guys aren't going to sign. Panarin's not signing.
You have to understand that organization, and I tend to agree with you there, Petey, that you have Columbus sitting tied with Washington, second in the Metropolitan Division. I can see Columbus going through some tough times just because there's a lot of distractions in that locker room. Your best goaltender, by far, is now in a situation that he got pulled out because of his attitude and sat in a game. That's number one. He's an unrestricted free agent.
They won without him.
They won without him. And I just look at that situation and saying that's going to be a distraction moving forward. The other one, your best player without question in Panarin is not signed. And he's not giving any inkling that he wants to come back.
They're offering him a vodka there. They got a vodka company, free vodka.
They got
billboards up. Panarin, don't go. We'll give you free vodka for life.
And we'll give you 10 schmilly. You know, like, I mean, they're going to have to offer this guy a lot of money to come back. And I know I've seen this in the past. It is a distraction for the player. It's a major distraction for the teammates. You want to know why? They're asked every day about Panarin. They're asked, the media members are not just asking Panarin, they're asking the teammates, what do you think? What is he going to do? Has he told you what he wants to do? Do you think he's going to come back? You know, this is a distraction. They shouldn't have to talk about another person's contract, but when it's your number one player on your team, it's going to be a distraction moving forward. There's no way of getting around this. And you know what's going to happen is, let's just say that this player doesn't want to come back and he wants to test the market.
That's not good.
Then what do the Columbus Blue Jackets have to do? You have to move this guy.
He wants to be in a big city. There aren't enough Russian spas in Columbus.
I played 38 games in Columbus, and it is a beautiful city, and they are a very passionate group. They haven't won a whole lot there in Columbus, but I'll tell you this. It is a heck of a place to play. It's a beautiful city.
It's a great town. I mean, I've been there a few times. What's the school? Oh, the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State.
The Ohio State University. All right. When we come back, the Instigators will talk more about playoff standings, playoff matchups, Nylander, and I want to talk a little bit more. William Nylander, not Alex. I want to talk a little bit more about contract year syndrome. There are a lot of players and a lot of teams that are at risk of this. I like this. Do you like the name of that?
What's that?
Contract year syndrome?
Yes, because I think it happens all the time, and then teams pay for it for years to come.
All right. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Andrew Peters, Craig Brevet, WGR 550 and MSG, The Instigators.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Brevet.
Okay, welcome back. He's played 20 games. He has one goal, three assists, 4 points, and his name is William Nylander. Sat out for quite the portion of the season, as late as he could, River, and here we are. We're sitting here. He gets a huge contract.
Who has the most pressure in the National Hockey League right this minute? Mm. Who?
Who?
Who do you think? If you had to pick a player in this league that is put under the most pressure, the most spotlight in this league, I don't think there's anyone even close to
Wild Bill Nylander.
Wild Bill Nylander. I feel bad. I feel bad for him because, in all reality, he's a very young guy still. Okay, he's played a couple extremely good seasons with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He held out for a long time. Did not go to training camp, did not put the time and the effort in. I shouldn't say that. He did put time and effort in, but not at the level that he needs to be at. He got thrown into the lineup way too quick. I remember who's the announcer? We just had him on.
Ferraro?
Yes, Ferraro said that this guy, remember William Nylander, because they were talking about when is William Nylander going to play in his first game? And Who's the guy that?
Yeah, so you're talking about the afternoon show there. Brian, I think, is Brian Hayes.
Brian Hayes.
Yeah, they got into it like they're buddies, eh? But they like I think Ferrero like started to rip him a little bit.
Well,
but
he
I
didn't
think
rip him. He just basically said, you know, everybody can do your job. I can bring a guy in to do your job right now. It may not be as good as what Brian Hayes does. Obviously, he's very good at what he does, but understanding, we can put someone in to do Brian Hayes' job. It's not going to be as good, but we can do that. You can't put someone in to do William Nylander's job. It's, you know what I'm saying? He's a professional athlete. He needs time to make sure that when
he
came
time,
back.
That conversation, it was, they were 6-7 games into this, okay, into this return. So how much time is enough? Because I feel like the heat's really on right now. Like
they brought him in too quickly. That's number one. They should have given him time to let the mental and his body, like he flew over from, where was he practicing? Over in Switzerland?
I think he was all over the place. I think that was part of it. I think he, like,
so
he was in Sweden.
So he flew over here. He practiced like 2 days with the team and then got thrown into his first game. And I just don't think that was the right thing to do. I think they needed to allow this guy to get acclimated back in Toronto, let him practice with the team for an entire week, ride this guy, make sure that he's ready to rock and roll until he started to feel good. And then he should have went right back to playing on the top line with Zach Hyman and Austin Matthews. I mean, that's the line
who's the other guy?
Who's the other
guy?
He
hasn't been playing very well either, Austin Matthews. But anyway, this isn't a Toronto Maple Leafs segment, but
it isn't. But when you've got a William Nylander who's played 20 games and has one goal, 4 points, -9.
And he's getting a ridiculous amount of money.
He's getting paid, what, 13 schmilly this year or something like that? I mean,
we had a conversation in the last break about Bobrovsky and Panarin being distractions for Columbus. And Allison tweets us. She says, Craig, does that mean you think that Skinner's contract is a distraction for the Sabres?
Go ahead and answer what we both feel.
We both agree on that. Well, no, I mean, like, the reason it's not is because he hasn't shown any signs that he doesn't want to be here. I mean, he enjoys Buffalo. He's having great chemistry with his line mates. You can see that he likes it. The fans love him. They vote him in the All-Star game. He's having a great year. He's close to home. The money's going to be there. You know, it's like, I don't feel the questions are the same for Skinner that they are for Panarin and Bobrovsky. Now the scenarios are similar. Yes, granted, I'll give it to you.
Listen, Jeff Skinner is not being held out because of an attitude issue. That's number one in an unrestricted free agent year.
In fact, I'd say it's probably the exact opposite.
Got held out, and it's not a good situation for that team. You have Panarin that has been dragging their feet for I don't know how long on this situation. I'm sure there's contact. There has to be contact with the agent right now, with Panarin's agent and the GM. They have to be talking. They're probably keeping things very quiet because they don't want this to be a distraction. But the reality, it is. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be players in the locker room that are going to be asked about. Jack's going to be asked about Jeff Skinner. Hey, what do you think? Do you think he's going to come back? How do you think? Skinner must talk to you. He's, you know, you're his centerman and you guys have had success. Does he want to come back? Does he, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure Jack is going to be asked questions moving forward. Jeff Skinner has not come out. The agency has not come out and said that, we're going to test the market or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that things are positive.
And these are all things that Jason Boschel would want to know. Wouldn't you think?
And most likely,
you've got a guy in the league who's tied for second. You've got a guy in your team who's tied for second in the league in goals. And if he's not going to re-sign, you know, you have to try and maybe find an Evander Kane-like deal. I mean, where if you whether it's a conditional pick, I think you get more for Kane than you would, or for Skinner than you would for Kane. But my point is that if he is not coming back, I'm sure Jason Botcher will know and will probably move that player for a piece or an asset. You're not going to let a guy walk out the door for nothing. Can't imagine. That's why I wonder about Columbus. That's why I wonder. I say Columbus could drop off because I don't even know if those two guys are going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to think that, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs right now are trying to figure out what ingredients that do they need to make this team better moving forward. Obviously, the talent they have on the forward line in Toronto is is pretty impressive. But they need some help on defense. And if you want to trade one player that's going to give you a significant return, a guy that's not just going to be a rental, that's going to play in your team for years, and you need defense, I think William Nylander is the guy that you're going to want to move, correct?
I'd be hesitant to move Kapanen.
Well, you know, like
that's the guy that I
he's
think
he's making a million bucks. I wouldn't move him either.
Oh, he's playing better.
He's playing better.
Period.
I'm just talking about William Nylander. You can't trade him now. He's got one goal in 20 games. He's minus nine. I mean, is his stock gone down?
I wouldn't trade Kadri. I wouldn't trade Marner, obviously. You're not going to trade Kapanen would be the only guy that they could look to move to in order to keep him. But didn't they say that he's here, he's a Leaf for life or something, like he's here for a long time?
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of Babcock's comments about that whole time he's like, "Yep, you know, I'm confident that, you know, William's going to be back and he's going to be a Leaf for a long time." Is that smoke and mirrors or
Well, I would think it's smoke and mirrors because I'm going to tell you, they have to move somebody. They do not have the structure, financial structure, to keep all these guys around. I mean, Mitch Marner, with what he's doing right now, I mean, he has 61 points in 48 games, 19 goals. This kid's absolutely on fire. He is the real deal. He is a super elite talent, and he wants to get paid for it.
So we're talking Leafs. Let's do our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway in Hamburg between Wegmans and Five Guys. I know those two places. So listen, buy, sell, trade. We want a New York Islanders, Toronto Maple Leafs playoff series. And think about the storylines. Number one, think about the storylines. I know everyone up there in Leaf Nation right now is terrified of the Boston Bruins, okay? There's this hockey curse of the Bambino going on or something. All I know is The Leaf fans, and I don't know about the Leafs, but the Leaf fans don't believe they can beat the Bruins. They don't want to see that. But the Islanders, who are probably the sneakiest, most topic-friendly team of the NHL season, when you think about July 1, John Tavares leaves. You don't see this coming. Lou Lamoriello goes from Toronto to the island. Barry Trotz leaves the Capitals. Remember everything. The going down to the, you know, after they won the cup, Barry, you coming back? I don't know. I mean, and then he goes to the island. Now they're in first place. You have Robin Lehner, who is a complete question mark going into the season. But all the storylines. I mean, is this not the series that we want to see? We want to see the Islanders Leafs playoff series, buy, sell, trade.
I'm going to buy, it's basically, let's just say it would be the Boston Bruins. I definitely want to see Toronto Maple Leafs play each other because, you know, Lou Lamoriello, who left the organization to take on a team that everybody around would have thought that this team would be, a low team in the league. I mean,
guilty as charged.
Guilty.
When Lou went there, even when they hired Trotz, I'm like, why would he take a job in Long Island? That's what I said. I'm like, why would Lou Lamoriello, with this reputation, it's iconic.
Reputation of what?
Legend.
Of doing what, though?
Winning.
Of building.
He's in the Hall of Fame as a builder. Like, yes.
He's one of the greatest builders of all time. He's taken on a team in New York Islanders that, I mean, they were in shambles. They lost their best player, their franchise player, who walked away for nothing, by the way. And, you know, ended up picking up, Robin Lehner, who is, not someone who is overly desired in the league. And they didn't do a whole lot in the offseason. They went and picked up Matt Martin again.
Which we all criticized that one.
Yeah. They went and picked up an aging Lee Komarov from Toronto.
Yeah.
So Lou knew what he was getting in those players, and he liked what they brought. And they've been pieces that have fit in very well in the Islanders. And I would love to see this playoff series.
This team it's weird.
Johnny T playing his old team. I mean, I would love to see the fans in a playoff series
like when they signed, was it Josh Bailey signed that? Did he sign a contract extension last year for $25 million, 5 years or something? Yeah. $5 million per year. And you know what my thought was?
And he had an
You know why I'm thinking he signed that deal when he signed it? I'm like, oh, he knows Johnny T's gone. He's never going to put those numbers up again. No wonder why he signed that deal.
Yeah.
There he is right now. He's got 37 points in 48 games. It's not a point a game, but I mean, he's third on the team in scoring. Brock Nelson, another guy. Jordan Eberle. Casey Cizikas. I mean, like Valtteri Filppula. He's 34 years old. I mean, this was 10 goals, 10 assists. Probably, you know, yeah, he's one of the better two-way players.
Thomas Greiss and Robin Lehner have been absolutely lights out for the Islanders. I mean, game-changing goaltending.
If I'm buying this, by the way, if we're doing buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports, who do you want to see? Or no, we want Leafs-Islanders playoff series. I'm buying it. At first, I said no this morning when that was one of the questions that we asked. I said, don't we want to see Leafs-Bruins? But I think with all the storylines and I don't know. I would give the series, though, to the Leafs for sure. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to give the series to the Leafs. Don't even roll your eyes and try to make an argument that the Islanders could win this series. Not even on emotion or passion or anything you want. They don't win this series, but I would definitely want to see this. Here's another buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Nylander's season will change the way teams handle their RFAs. Now, we had a holdout here. Sam Reinhart and Nylander were kind of held out side by side.
When did Sam sign?
He signed during training camp.
Into training camp.
Into training camp, yeah.
I think his...
And he had a bit of a slow start, too.
I think his representation, Sam's representation, I think Jason Bottrell... We're probably guiding, Sam to say, listen, you need to get back. You need to get back with this team. We want to start fresh. You want to have the same start as what you ended last year. So Sam decided to come back. I mean, and he made a great decision. You know, Jason Bottrell wanted one thing out of Sam Reinhart. He wanted him to go out and show that he can be an elite player on the team and in this league. And I think Sam right now has represented himself extremely well, by the way. 48 points or 44 points in 48 games, 11 goals plus 7.
His goal in Vancouver was unreal.
He's playing the game, and he has really played well for the Sabres this year. Great for Sam Reinhart. I mean, and I think that he's going to continue to grow. I truly believe when we look at Sam Reinhart, it's not just about what we're getting now from this player. He's only 23 years old. He's got the best years by far ahead of him in the next 7-8 years. I mean, I love what Sam is turning into as a hockey player.
Tell you right now, at the cap hit and the point production and everything, it's not crazy to say that right now, and it can change, right? Because the way players go in waves, and William Nylander is a phenomenal hockey player, but right now, Sam Reinhart is outplaying that guy and the contract. And you talk about the two that held out together going into the season.
I was shocked when Sam signed that contract.
Yeah. When Sam signed that deal and you hear Nylander signing that deal and you think, look at the production that you're getting. Instigators, we'll be right back. Final segment for today. And when we come back, actually, I got to tell everybody that I'm going to be hosting One Bills Live, at least for the first hour, with Thurman Thomas. Awesome story about the first time I ever met Thurman Thomas. I wonder if he'll remember. He probably won't, but it's probably...
You want me to tell you the first time I met Thurman Thomas?
When we come back, I want to hear your story about the first time.
And it is awesome.
There it is. There's your tease. No
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
And all the cops came?
Oh, all the cops came. Got to tell the story now.
Ooh, nope, sorry.
It's not about Thurman, though. He said he was going to tell a story about first time he met Thurman, although the cops should have come that night.
That's true.
He was telling a story about a guy, actually, that he played with and did something crazy, and the cops came. It was harmless, but the cops came.
Well, a former NHLer, Kyle Calder, who's just driving in his car listening to the show.
I mentioned his
name
at the start of the show. Hi, Kyle. He called my brother this weekend. They played in Norfolk together in the AHL.
Hell of a player playing for Detroit Red Wings. And anyway, I ended up playing with Kyle Calder in the World Championships. We won we won the gold medal over there, so. Awesome stuff, and nice to see that he just threw me a text here, and he's listening to the Instigators,
as he should be, as he should be.
But let's get back to our Thurman Thomas. First time that Thurman really knew my name.
Yes, so I'm hosting, for everyone who's wondering, I'm going to host One Bills Live with Thurman Thomas coming up. Steve Tasker's, I guess, the plane's frozen. So, what do? You bring in the big dog.
Yep.
So what about?
Well, you know, when you think of Thurman, what's the one thing that you think about when you think of Thurman Thomas in the NFL?
Sheer power and strength and speed.
And speed. Like, he's about speed. This man's a genetic marvel, Hall of Fame running back. Let me tell you something. This guy right here, who's not known for his speed, outran.
He's talking about himself, not me.
Outran Thurman Thomas in the bubble game at one of the Sabres games.
I didn't know where we were going with this, and then you said, "Do you know where I met him?" And I said, "No, where?" I said, "Where'd you meet him?"
It was unbelievable.
The bubble race, and you were so proud about that. That was the first thing you said.
Greatest thing ever. So you had Rob Ray, Brad May, Thurman Thomas, yourself, and myself, and I could just see you junkyard dogs salivating all over each other. Meaning you, Brad May, and Rob.
Well, I had the lead.
You took off like a genetic model.
I was gone like a gazelle, as you would call me. Took the turn, Razor and Mayday cut the corner and came straight at me, double teaming in the corner.
And they were looking for blood. And you know
what? It
was
like the old Buffalo Wild days.
Thurman Thomas, he ended up getting a little shimmy shake from Brad May right at the beginning. And everybody forgot about me. I just ran the race by myself. And I turned that corner and I saw Thurman. And I'm thinking to myself, I have no chance to win this. But then I said, yes, I do. And I put my head down, and I outran an NFL
One
running
Bills
back,
Live.
Hall of Famer.
He's
all about
One
the speed.
Bills Live next with me from noon to 3, WGR 550 and MSG, the
Thurman,
Instigator.
Say my name.
Kyle Calder. Take care, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.